And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 29th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 29. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That number again is 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can, which I sent out a couple of tweets earlier. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. So just give us, go over to twitch.tv in your browser. And then go to the search bar up the top, type InGameChat. And then you'll be able to find us and watch us live while we broadcast. And then you can join in the chat room if you want and chat with everybody in there as well while we broadcast. Before we get into the show, let me do this. And then let's get back into the show. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
How was the Star Wars day at the stadium last week?
It was as fun as
hot.
It was as fun as it was hot.
Yeah. Probably more hot than it was fun. I'm almost certain.
I had a good time with that. It was a
really hot.
It was extremely hot.
I wore shorts that Saturday to come to the studio.
I wore plastic.
I know. But I don't normally wear shorts at all, ever. I'm in jeans today even. But I wore shorts last weekend. It was miserably hot.
We had a great turnout, which is always nice. We had about like 25 people, you know, trooping the event.
Yeah.
We had R2-D2 there. And like,
did you do multiple costumes or just one?
I did two.
Okay.
I started out like in the first inning, like from the opening in the first inning with my stormtrooper. Then I swapped out my pilot because it's a little bit easier to maneuver and less hot. But yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to play anything?
I've been getting back into Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
So I've actually gotten to the second map in that.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing? It's like, whoa,
oh, hey,
wait.
Yep, there's a new map.
Yeah, you go into this cave thing to do a story mission or whatever, and then you exit this cave thing into a brand new map that you didn't even think was there. So,
yeah.
I've been playing on that one map. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I guess this is going to be it. All the story's going to take place in this place. And then, okay, that's fine with me. Boom, new map.
From hearing what you're talking about, like, all right, so I started doing the missions to get the skills.
Because they don't unlock your powers until you do missions.
Yeah, because, like, man, there's all these powers I want to be able to do and everything. And then, like, so I just unlocked the Shadow Strike, the Caragorn, where if you shoot a Caragorn, you know, like, Caragorn's like their little beast, you know, animals that, you know, eat people. But, yeah, when you shoot it, then it automatically mounts it.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's so much easier.
Oh, God, yes.
So much easier.
Oh, man. No, it was, I don't know if I'm a fan of that kind of gameplay mechanic or not. Unlock abilities through playing the story, you know? Or should they just be on a tree? I say on a tree, you know, on a skill tree, to where you just get up points and then you just unlock from there.
Well, in a... See, in a way, it does both.
I know. I mean,
because you have the red, you know, abilities. Then you have the blue abilities.
The power, and then the
The red ones, you just, you know, the more actions you do, then you get, you know, the powers.
But some of those you can't unlock until you've done parts of the story.
Yeah.
Regardless, even if you have the power, even if you have all the power numbers, whatever. There's two or three. There's the last two or three that you can't do anything with until you've unlocked, or maybe it's the blue ones I'm thinking of.
It's
the
blue.
Okay.
They're the ones that, when you do the side missions, they unlock those.
Hmm.
I mean, it's done by Warner Brothers?
Well, it's done by...
Monolith.
Monolith, yeah.
But, it reminded me a lot of... I mean, Arkham series was kind of like that, where some of the abilities you get, it wasn't in through it until you progressed in the story.
Yeah.
You know? In
but,
other words, you could, you know, unlock as you
yeah,
gain
but the
points.
Arkham series, like...
Something about the Arkham series, to me, didn't make it seem as obvious as this.
Maybe that's the case, because I knew in the game that you could brand some of the orcs and they would work with you.
Yeah.
They would fight for, you know...
I haven't gotten that one yet.
Right. You can't do that until you unlock. And so, like, I knew that was there, and I just thought... Well, the more I kill, then, you know, I figured it would unlock through the Nemesis system, and it never actually did.
Yeah.
Until you do the story mode on it. But, In Arkham, I guess I never felt that way. I mean,
like some gadgets and everything you don't get until you progress to that point in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's but a lot of the same thing.
And a lot of those you don't actually need unless you're doing the story or unless you're doing Riddler trophies for the most part. I'm trying to think. In both Arkham and Arkham City and Arkham Knight, I don't think I was ever walled off from any place until because I hadn't progressed through the story. Maybe some indoor stuff, but I know outdoor stuff. Everything was pretty much open for us, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
In Arkham City and Arkham,
I believe Knight. So I
was the one that had the three islands.
No, you're right. The three islands had to unlock.
Yeah, some things you had to do
story
before you could go to the other islands.
And Shadow of Mordor, I mean, like outside, there's really, I mean, you can go anywhere.
You can. Of course, you couldn't go to the other map until you unlocked it in the story mode. But yeah.
But like the three islands, yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fun to run through.
Yeah, and get ready to do it again in the. How's your Nemesis system going? Mine, I didn't have it was just.
The Nemesis system, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
You're probably not.
Because it just, I mean, I keep on hearing people talk about it, but it's, you know, I don't know. It didn't seem really that important to me. Like, all right, I see like the head, you know, the tier general, or, you know, the war chiefs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then let me take out, you know, some of the people, you know, some of their sergeants, so to speak. And then let me say, you know, I don't know. It just, to me, it didn't seem.
Yeah, it will help you in the end of the game.
Yeah.
To have a good bit of them. It'll help you at the end.
I mean, I just run into random, you know,
what, but
named
what
characters.
I know. But what I'm saying is instead of, especially the war chiefs on the ones that are in command and stuff.
Yeah.
You want to make sure all those guys get branded if you can. And if you lose one, you want to get one ranked back up there to become a war chief so you can brand him and become. And he can, you know, work for you type of thing. You really want to, as many people that are in your Nemesis system situation, you really want to brand, before you get to the end of the game, you really want to brand as much of those as possible.
Okay, I've been doing the, not the branding, but the death threats.
But you said you hadn't gotten to the branding yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, so that's what
I'm saying. I've been doing the death threats occasionally, and like it, you know, mm-hmm. raises some dude's, you know, level up. And
that levels him up, which means, you know, if you take
him
down,
the chance
then
of the better.
You can get
epic.
Some of the better loot, or if he beats you, then he becomes even more powerful.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a gamble with that if he beats you, but it's, again, the combat was in such a way that it was hard to get defeated. Now, it was easy to get overwhelmed.
Yes.
But it was hard to get defeated, and it was also easy to run away.
Yeah.
Like, when you were becoming overwhelmed,
the
you could run away.
The AI for noticing you is really...
Yeah, I know.
Not good. I mean, I could just, like, walk right in front of a dude, and I'm standing right in front of him, and he's like, huh, you kind of look like a ranger. Maybe I should do something about that. And I'm like, all right, let me just stab you then.
Well, I keep saying it. The too old for gamers in the chat room says, I keep saying it at the end of the game, but I'm not telling why, because I don't want to spoil anything for him. And honestly, I don't know. I had, maybe it doesn't matter. It seemed like it did for me, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Like I said, it kept on staring at me.
Because I didn't go through the ending having all of my my Nemesis systems killed. You know what I'm saying? I say Nemesis systems, whatever. All of those who are on the ranking file, whatever. They were all alive and they were all branded to work for me.
Okay.
And so at the end, you and your army kind of go up against this other thing.
Yeah.
This other army. And I don't know if that has any effect. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's generic. Maybe the group I took with me is generic. I don't know.
Well,
I didn't go through it a different way.
In the first map, before I went to the second, when you first start, you know, learning about the war chiefs, and you take them down. I took them all down. I'm like, all right, they're all gone. And then I'm like walking around just a little bit, and I look at my Nemesis, you know, stats.
Yeah.
And more people just rose up to that rank, and I'm like, oh, well, okay.
It fills them in. It does. It's...
It just automatically filled them. So I'm like, all right, I took that guy down, and then, you know, another guy popped up.
That's the thing with it. I played a good many months when that game first came out, and I just did nothing but focus on that Nemesis system, and of course leveling up. I didn't bother playing through the story just because some other place on the map would be calling my attention as far as the Nemesis system was concerned. And I was like, ooh, let's go over here and do this. Because, like, dude would remember me. And I died a few times in some of those combats, and they would be ranked up, and they would remember me when I came back. And so that was kind of a neat thing, but it also, honestly, I don't think it worked the way that they really wanted it to work.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping maybe they've tweaked it for the sequel to make it work
that
way.
The gameplay itself is enjoyable. I mean, you know, I like it. It's fun. I kind of like the idea that your little Wraith guy is the one that forged the rings. You know, that I thought that was, all right, cool, interesting. Other than that, I mean, it was just staring at me in my Steam library, you know.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those.
Yeah, they just like stare at you. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'd started that. I should get back to that. You just don't.
Mad Max is staring at me.
Yeah, Mad Max is another one.
Doom is still staring at me.
Oh, that one actually I beat. I played all the way through.
Yeah, I know. Doom is still staring at me. Bayonetta is looking at me as well. I got that installed. I got Vanquish installed.
I got the 8-bit Bayonetta.
I bought the game when they released it.
Yeah. Did you get the free 8-bit version?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I got that, too. I haven't played it, but I got it.
I saw RJ at GT South and watched him play Vanquish a little bit.
That always draws a crowd.
Yeah, it does. I still get the questions every now and then. What game is this? And it gets genuine interest from folks.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't really remember, because I didn't play it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, this is going to, what is this game?
Oh, man.
It seemed like it was like maybe like flew under a lot of people's radars.
I actually don't think it did. I say that only for the fact that we did have RJ with us. And so maybe I didn't. Maybe that's why it doesn't feel that way. Because I remembered it. I know James remembered it. And I remember when it came out. Yeah. And I was interested in it. I may have game flight it. I don't remember. But I now have it on the PC to play at the limited frame rate and all this other stuff, and so, I haven't done anything with it yet.
It's true that every time I load that game up, I always get a question or two about what game is this. It came out in 2010, and I don't recall any advertising or press for it. To be honest with you,
yeah,
I mean it was just a platinum title, so I just picked it up.
I know, but people that are fans of platinum titles know about that, and I'm not saying that everybody's not a fan, but I mean this was after Bayonetta. What else had been released? Anything else? Or was that their second? Not their second release, obviously, but was that the next game after Bayonetta that they released?
I think it was. I'm trying to remember some other titles they had out there. I want to say Binary Domain, but I don't think that was...
Well, didn't Platinum do something for the Wii at the time?
Bayonetta 2?
No. Wii, not Wii U. No, the black and white game.
Oh, Mad World?
Mad World. Was that Platinum or no?
It may have been because
was that Capcom?
Anarchy Reigns.
I can't remember.
Too Old for Gaming says Mad World, so maybe it was.
I know, Too Old for Gaming coming in there.
That's why I like the chat room.
And says, yeah, I know. And Vanquish, he does say Vanquish, or he or she, Vanquish was after Bayonetta.
They say.
I want to say Anarchy Reigns was one of the Platinum titles, too.
I just thought that with Bayonetta, that Platinum stock rose and people paid attention to him after that, but I guess I was wrong. I don't know. I know that we paid attention to it just because we keep track of new releases that are coming out, and we kind of, you know, we're like, hey, is anybody going to play them? So that's the thing. What else have you played? Anything else? I want to say last week you were playing Dead Rising 3, or was that?
Yes. I picked that up on the Humble Bundle, whatever, or their Capcom Bundle,
yeah.
And loaded that up and everything, played a little bit of it. I'm like, all right, I need to adjust my settings on this because that throws a lot of zombies at you on screen.
I was looking for music, obviously, and I clicked my Steam friends list, and you were playing Dead Rising 3, so I got music from Dead Rising 3.
All right.
So that's what made me remember it.
I've been talking with Kevin about doing Ghost Recon Wildlands.
You have that?
I do now.
Okay. I didn't know you had it.
I do now. It's installing this morning.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and play that a little bit. And I think, I don't know if it was last time, you know, if I did it in between last time, but I tried streaming a little bit of Hitman, the Elusive Target.
Mm-hmm.
And also tried streaming a little bit of Until Dawn.
Yeah, was that also last week?
I don't remember my days.
I don't either. You know
my
what
days
I realized?
Just run together.
What's that?
I can't remember what I was doing, but something dawned on me was that he streamed Until Dawn, from his PS4
yes.
on in-game chat's account.
I did.
Can we do that now? Remember, you and I had an issue with
that,
right?
Yeah, we tried that and it didn't go well.
Was it from
in-game
chat's account?
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know if it was from that or from mine.
No, it was from in-game chat because I got an email.
Okay.
And I don't get emails from like your account when you stream.
Oh, because you don't follow me. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Did you have yours like linked to the in-game chat's account that you know of?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to go with,
Okay, so you went straight from your PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the PS4, and then since I had the camera, you know, I made it where the camera could sort of see me in my room, and then it didn't allow me to do the chat room for some reason. I couldn't see any of the chats. So anyone was in there.
He was streaming on our account. I know that's the thing. So I need to get back and see if I can... I need to try again, basically, and see if any of that's.
I don't know if I need to log out then, if that's what's doing it.
Don't worry about it right now.
Yeah.
We'll
try it again some other time and figure it out. Just,
sure.
Hopefully you don't. Hopefully anybody can log into the. I say anybody. Hopefully any one of us who has the info can log into the account and stream when we want to instead of like we had to last time. So, anything else that you played? You didn't get a chance to play Destiny 2 beta.
No, I didn't.
I know. I hated that.
Full Throttle Remastered. I picked that up. It was on sale, and I'm like, all right, you know, $10. I could help out Tim Schafer for that.
Yeah, because Tim needs all the help.
He does, you know.
I don't even know. I'm sure he sees a little bit of money off of that.
Well, I mean, it was, I think.
Was that a Double Fine remaster? Did they do the remaster? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I mean, I have the other remastered LucasArts games that they've released so far.
Of course you do.
So
that's what you do.
Yeah.
I know.
They're fun games.
I'm not giving you crap about it. I promise you I'm not. And obviously I have nowhere to talk because I haven't played anything. It's been since the Destiny 2 beta, the first time the Destiny 2 beta went live, which was for me Tuesday of, not this past week, but the week before.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I played. I haven't played anything else. I just, for whatever reason, I just haven't. I guess I've been lazy in that department. I sit at the computer and I look at the games that I've gotten and I'm like, I'm going to go watch TV. And so I'll go back and that's it. You know, it's been a nice dry spell of no game playing for me. However, this morning this afternoon before the show, I fired up House of Da Vinci on my iPad and played some more of that and got even further. I'm a huge fan of puzzle games, as everybody knows, so... Mm-hmm. House of Da Vinci is very much in the same vein as The Room, and so it works for me, and that's what I played. Haven't played anything else. But I sit there at the computer, and I look at that stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I need to do this, and I need to do this. And it's all stuff that I don't feel burdened to do, but it's all stuff I look at, and I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to play that. And I just haven't done it. I go through these. I go through these spells where I don't do anything for a while. And it's usually about this time of year that it usually happens, around about the time of PAX.
Yeah.
Getting all that straightened away, I've got my badges came in the mail.
Okay.
Press pass, though, I got to pick up at will call when I get there. But I always get badges just in case. Hotels booked. Flight will be booked this week. And turned in my time off sheet here at the station downstairs so I could have my time off. So... We're good. We won't have a show that weekend, by the way.
Which weekend is that?
Labor Day weekend. Dragon Con.
Dragon Con. Oh.
Yeah. Are you going? Not
no.
going? Okay.
No. You know, money, time.
I understand.
Just burnt out on Dragon Con.
I was about to ask you if there's anything you wanted to see at Dragon Con.
Not really, no.
They announced John Cusack is going to be there.
You know...
I get everybody who, when they saw the announcement, everybody's like, hey, John. And then I thought,
okay, but
how does he fit into Dragon Con other than being a
movie,
celebrity?
He was in that one film, Identity. I don't know. I'm reaching.
I don't know.
Trying to see how he ties to sci-fi or anything
of
that
nature. Which is fine. Like, I don't want to get that kind of picky on it because I've never been to a Dragon Con anyway. I always go to PAX. But, it's been a long... I've been to one Dragon Con in my life. It was 1992, 1995? I don't know. Mm. It goes way back.
And been a while.
Yeah, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been. Lethal Migraine says, WTF is Dragon Con and why does it exist? Lethal Migraine, Dragon Con is, I guess, the biggest sci-fi fantasy convention for the Southeast.
Yeah.
It takes place in Atlanta. It's massive.
Downtown Atlanta.
Back in the days when I would go, for a while there, I used to go to the Walk of Fame. You know, you see the actors and the
They didn't have that when I went.
They didn't?
No, they didn't have a Walk of Fame.
Well, you said, what year? 96?
Find out when the movie Raising Kane came out, and that's the year I went.
Because I was at the 96.
It wasn't 96.
That was the very first one.
That Dragon Con ever had?
No, that I went to.
Oh, that you went to. Find out when the movie...
Because Mark Hamill was there as a keynote speaker.
Is that the one with John Lithgow?
Yeah.
Yes.
92.
92.
92,
oh. I remember that because that was the movie posters in the lobby of wherever I was for Dragon Con. I remember seeing that movie poster. That's okay. The only way I can remember. It was 1992. Image Comics had just formed. This was more for me. I was not a sci-fi person. I was like comic book.
Yeah.
And my father took me because at 1992, I was 10, I was 14 years old.
All right.
So my father took me. To Dragon Con, and I love my dad for this because I was there for just the comic books, and I can't remember. The only thing I can remember is the aisles and aisles of comic book merch. Like it wasn't anything else. It was all comic books.
Mm-hmm.
It was all comic books, and the artists would sit in some of these booths, and they would be signing there. And it was completely free. It didn't cost anything to get anybody to sign anything. You just stood in line for a minute and got them to sign stuff. I had taken some of my favorites because I knew who was going to be there. An artist named Mark Bagley, I think. He did a lot of Spider-Man stuff. He did the, if you're not familiar with it, he did the introduction to Carnage, which was the Venom.
Yeah, the Red Venom.
Yeah. And he did the Maximum Carnage storyline, which, of course, there was a video game for that.
I remember that.
I think
that.
On the Genesis.
Yeah.
And the SNES, maybe. He did the Maximum Carnage storyline. And so I had brought all of those and the introduction of the Shocker and a couple of others that he had done. And I was like, hey, sign these. So he'd sign those. And my dad was like, hey, what else can we get you here? And he got into this. He did this more than I did. He was like, do you have that issue? And it was like the first... It was like issue number one of Web of Spider-Man, which is now no longer in production, that series, the Web of Spider-Man. I said, no. And he said, we're going to get you that. So he got me that. But he haggled with whoever was trying to sell the comic and got him to come down on the price and got me that one. He got me the first issue of Spectacular Spider-Man, which I don't even know if that one's still going on. Which there's no way he'd give me the first issue of Amazing because, I mean, that's running way, way up there.
Yeah.
But he got me the Spectacular Spider-Man issue number one. And then, he saw that. I guess he saw the comics I had were all basically revolving around Venom because Todd McFarlane was going to be there, and he introduced the Black Suit Spider-Man and stuff after the Secret Wars and whatever. So I know I'm going way off topic here, but he then got me all of the Venom issues at that time, starting with Secret Wars number 8. Anytime the black costume appeared,
right.
Up until what I had, he went and got all of those and haggled with everybody and got me deals and things like that, and I had a bunch. And I've told this story before, but we're walking around the convention center. I see two guys sitting outside of a room, and we just kind of walked by them. And then later I was like, okay, well, it's almost time. I need to go get the Todd McFarlane signature on my Spawn, my Venoms and stuff like that. And so we're trying to find it. We walk back by where those two guys were sitting, and... Those two guys who were sitting there are now joined by a massive line of people. That's apparently where Todd McFarlane was signing, and we didn't have time, so I didn't get in line to wait for it.
Mm.
So if I had known then, I mean, I was 14 years old, man.
Good times. Anyway,
so there's my little story.
All right.
Again, I haven't played anything. I'm going to pass it on over to RJ. What have you played?
A little bit more of the golf club too. I'm still trying to practice getting those shots straight. It's not working so far, but we'll see what happens as I keep on practicing this. Played a little bit of Fallout 4. They did some updates to the mods that they put on the PS4.
Okay.
So I updated them all and started playing that again. Probably going to start something new because, you know, you know, you put enough mods on the game, it gets a little crowded, so you want to see how it starts from fresh.
Yeah.
And see how it works out from there.
Plus, you get a little, like, depending on the mod, you might get a little overpowered.
Oh, I was I think it was a little bit overpowered before the mods came in there. Yeah, I was putting
you put stats a lot of hours in there, right?
Put a lot of hours in that one. Played a little bit of Street Fighter V because they updated it with the newest character, character from Final Fight named Abigail. Huge, huge character. Almost takes up the entire screen when he stands up. So a lot of people are having some issues with him, like where his hitboxes are, things like that. Like, you can't hit him in the top of the head. Well, nobody can jump that high without the assist of a wall. So it's pretty much fine as is. I think they just use the same dimensions they used for Hugo in Ultra Street Fighter 4. So
okay,
they'll be fine with that. From what I hear, despite the lackluster response from Evo at his reveal, a lot of folks I've talked to about it, they're having a lot of fun using him. He's not difficult to use, pretty much straightforward. And he does a ridiculous amount of damage. He can do some very, very punishing combos in that game. One of the pro players, I think Punko, played and streamed him using him. I think he pulled off a 70% combo with
him.
Jeez. Yeah. It was one V trigger, a combo, and I think it involved his critical art. That was about 70% of the lifeline gone. One combo.
Wow.
Yeah, but you have to set that. But you have to set it up. But outside of that, at GT South, we had a little get-together for Amber's birthday. So we played a tournament in Injustice 2.
Okay.
So I did a little had a little fun with that. Only thing about that was it was on the Xbox One.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I still say to this day, the Xbox One controller, one of the worst controllers, if not the worst, for fighting games, to me. The way that analog and the D-pad is set up in there,
yeah,
it's just not comfortable at all. I've tried it many times. I just cannot get comfortable with that. So I end up having to play it on my stick.
I was going to say, wouldn't you rather just have a stick for it anyway?
No, but usually if I played Injustice, I've always played Injustice on the PlayStation pad.
Oh, okay.
I've always have.
Start to smack talking Xbox, Lethal Migraine's going to slash your tires.
No, he won't. Anyway, we...
See, look at this comment. He didn't comment on the controller. He commented that fighting games is a silly niche genre. It's no reason to design a controller for that. Oh, God, I love his comments. Oh,
But no, throughout my time playing fighting games, most of the time, the only time I use a stick is for Street Fighter, traditional six button game.
I remember that. I mean, that's just like the arcade back in the day. That's how you, mm-hmm. you know.
Back to the arcade days. But I've been used to playing on a control pad all this time. So other than that, outside of that, we're probably going to get in the next segment talking about it.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, but just play the Destiny 2 beta.
I did play a bit of the beta. Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about what you thought about with that, and then we'll have some of the news that we've gotten collected over the week, which
not too much,
but, you know, enough to talk about. So, and of course, if your phone calls, if you want to get them in, 334-272-9228 is the number. We're going to come back with more in-game chat after this. Going right into our music here is a new game that released... a lot of these games I look at, and I don't know if they're just getting console releases after being on the PC for a while, because mm-hmm. when I go to look up the music, it should be fairly new, but it's been on YouTube for like months. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's just been on another platform or whatever. So this comes from a game that I saw was released on PS4. It's called Sundered. It's the main menu music here, but we'll be right back with more of in-game chat after this. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with Matt and RJ. This is music from another, I think it was recently released on Xbox One or PS4, I don't know. It's been around in beta for a long time. It's called Gigantic. The main menu music here. I've seen it at a couple of either two PAXs or an E3 and a PAX. Something like that. Probably two PAXs is where I saw this. Just beta after beta after beta after beta trying to get this thing to work. It's a... not a MOBA, but it's like an always online team battle thing. So,
like Team Fortress or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Like, so each side, there's spots on the map that you have to take control of. And if you take control of them for enough time, you waken your big, gigantic beast that is fighting for you. So whenever the round, whenever the countdown ends, whoever has the most control over that, the big, gigantic beast go, and then they fight. And if you've got more than the other guys, you're going to do more damage to their beast. And then, and you also have a time in there where you, as an individual, can attack the beast as well. And kind of bring down the power a little bit. And then, of course, that stops for a minute, resets, and everybody has to do it again. And then it's just to take down the bigger beast of the other team. Yeah, Lethal Migraine. I didn't like it too much either. I haven't, but it's been a long time since I've tried it. So I don't know if it's worth jumping back into or not. But I didn't like what I played of it. Another thing that I didn't like what I played of was the Destiny 2 beta, which doesn't mean anything, to be honest with
it's
you.
It's a beta.
Well, no, it's not even that. It doesn't matter if it was a beta or the full game. I'm still going to play it.
Yeah.
That's just how it is with Destiny and me. I am going to play Destiny 2. That's the thing. I wasn't a fan of some of the changes that they had made. New supers are fine. I don't care about that. It was basically the weapon loadout situation, where you've got a primary, like you always did, has no elemental effects to it. You've got a secondary, which is now your, I think, called the energy slot.
I just go primary, elemental, power.
Basically, yeah. Primary and then elemental, which has basically all your primary weapons, but with elemental damage on them. Yeah. So you get two primaries now. And then your power is rocket launchers, grenade launchers...
shotguns.
Swords, shotguns, snipers, fusions, all of those now go from being secondary weapons to being power weapons.
Okay.
Which means you can't be walking around with a primary, a shoddy, and a rocket, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and we had Josh on, Drunk Degenerates, was on last week. And I mean, he kind of understood, well, he didn't understand, he kind of explained it better. To me is where, well, this is where teamwork comes into play when you've got a team.
One person with a shoddy.
Somebody takes a snipe, somebody takes a shoddy, somebody takes a rocket.
Gotcha.
You know, if you're going in threes.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm not even sure, and this was something I was trying to test, was do you remember how when you'd switch, well, I don't know if you remember, Matt may, when you would switch weapons in Destiny, you'd lose a little bit of ammo. Didn't yeah. matter so much on your primaries and your secondaries, but it mattered a lot on that
on the
heavy,
yeah.
which is now the power. Anytime you went from a sword to a rocket, you'd have
lose a couple of rounds.
Right. If you had full ammo on your sword, 60 some odd shots or ever how much it was, if you switched to a rocket, it cut it all in half, and you'd had two rockets ready to go usually.
Yeah.
Or if it had a capacity of six, you only had four. If had a capacity of four, you only had like two, something like that. You never were full. And so I don't know.
I thought it would reset.
Yeah. Huh?
I thought it would just reset. It's like picking up the weapon like brand new all over again.
Well, no. Because it didn't matter. Again, if I had filled up all my rockets, like if I had, if my rocket carried six and I had six and I was full, I couldn't pick up any more purple ammo whatsoever. Yeah. And I switched to a sword, my sword's not going to be full.
Right.
It's going to be back down to, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, but when you picked up a new weapon, it wasn't. Full when you picked it up brand new, was it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is if you picked it up and then swapped weapons, it's just like you picked it up brand new off
maybe.
The floor or something like that.
But as scarce as power ammo is, and
you don't use it much.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I use the sniper and the shotty quite a bit. Fusion I didn't use too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I use that sniper and the shotgun quite a lot. For some things. So, I don't know. You just have to see how it plays out. That's the thing. I'm sitting here telling you I got my complaints about it, but I'm going to be playing the game. I don't care. I'm going to be doing it. That's the thing. You only played the opening mission, I guess.
I'll play the opening mission.
Which, there's that, and then there's the strike, and that's pretty much it, unless you want to do multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do multiplayer, but I just wasn't up to doing any multiplayer for this beta thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'll do the multiplayer. I'll especially do Iron Banner when it rolls back around.
Right.
I enjoy doing that. That's about the only time I really dove into multiplayer, unless mm-hmm. it was part of a quest to get a certain weapon or to, for whatever reason, I had to. Otherwise, I'd stayed away from multiplayer altogether.
Yeah.
So, so what did you think?
It was Destiny. It felt like basically more of the same.
More of the same, yeah.
It felt like more of the same, really, with the only slight differences.
It doesn't really feel like a 2, and it also doesn't feel like DLC either.
Too much story on that, I guess. But, I was just going through the controls and everything, trying to remember how to play, because it's been almost a year since I've even played Destiny. Slight little things here and there, like, for instance, turning, strafing, mm-hmm. had a little issue with that. For some reason, turning left, I'm spinning like a top, but I'm turning right, and I'm, like, stuck in molasses or something. I didn't get what was going on there, but like you said last week, it's a beta, and things will be...
Yeah, I never tried the spinning thing. I know I had some controller issues when I was playing Destiny 1,
mm-hmm.
and I had to actually buy a new controller because it was my controller that was screwed mm-hmm. up.
No, but the same controller I was using on other games didn't have that issue, really. But yeah, I noticed a definite difference in speed of turning between left and right going in the beta in that one. Still, my favorite weapon is still going to be the scout rifle.
Titan. You went for a Titan?
Titan,
okay.
Yeah.
Are these the same three classes?
Yeah. Titan, Hunter, Warlock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With you got your overcharge move, and you got some specialty class based move, the shield, the barrier, like you were talking about mm-hmm. that first one. Same controller, isn't it? It's like one comes out when you're fully charged, the other comes out when you're not fully charged yet, isn't it? Isn't that how it works, or something?
Well, your super is one thing. Your super I don't know which one you went with. Did you go the Captain America, or did you go Bubble? Did you go shield or did you go bubble?
Yeah, there was a shield in there. When I used
that's it. That's what I
activated by accident. I didn't know how I did it.
Yeah. You had the shield and it would, you know, you throw it and it'd bounce around and hit enemies and stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Fantastic. That was the purple thing.
Yeah, it was purple.
What the
void based?
Void, yeah. I was trying to remember what that element was. Mm-hmm. Which is great because Void used to be just your shield, and it was really hard to generate orbs with just a shield.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the class quests was to, in a strike, make 7 orbs appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was really tough to do when all you have is a shield.
People had to shoot it, right?
I mean, a bubble.
Yeah, bubble.
Well, you can't shoot anything.
People had to shoot your shield or something, wasn't it? Or catch someone in
I'm
it?
I'm not sure. I know the way we did it with James is we went to one of those. It was the...
Basically, you had to rely on someone else to get...
For the most part, it was horrible.
Yeah.
So now that you have this, now that you actually have an attack ability with mm-hmm. your with the shield as a void. But, yeah, you've got three things. You've got whatever your super can do. So, I mean, I'll tell you as far as Warlock is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
My super that I had at the time selected was the sword, the fire sword. And so... once I activated that, I pulled out my fire sword and I could swing it and it would throw waves of fire at enemies. And I could jump up in the air and hover and, you know, rain down waves of fire with my mm-hmm. sword. Then there are three other things that your character can do based on what you've selected.
Mm-hmm.
Type of grenade, as always. Yeah. You've got your grenade. Then the other thing is your jump, I think. Was how you would, your jump setting, I think, or something like that. I can't remember. The other thing for me was this thing that I could put on the ground for other players to step into, and it would either buff their weapons or it would buff their shield.
Well, support.
Yeah, it was a support thing. Yeah. And I want to say the Titan has the same thing. Titan has something that is a support type thing. I can't remember.
Probably has to do with that shield then.
Maybe that's what it was.
You have to step in the shield with them, and something will get buffed.
Because you'd get a bubble or the shield thing, and then the other thing was like you could
plop down a barrier, something for cover,
right? And that's what a lot of people are complaining about right now because the hunters have nothing. The hunters have they don't have any kind of like support thing in theirs. Mm-hmm. The hunters have none of that, so... Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're pure offense, then.
That's what it's looking like, but a lot of people are complaining about that because nobody's going to want them.
did the hunters ever have... I never used a hunter before, so did the hunters ever have anything defensive?
I didn't use a hunter either.
No, the reason you used hunters is because they were moving... Like, we always... I remember in some of the raids, whenever you were doing... all of them are going out of my head now. I'm completely... The one for Taken King.
Okay.
The raid that was in there, there were these... platforms that you had to move around on. Hunter was always good for that because they were just really quick to move around.
Yeah.
And the way they could do the triple jump and stuff like that was nice.
Yeah.
So they had that, and that's one of the things that that you would always select them with. But at the time, it really didn't matter. You wanted to make sure that you had a bubble. And what else did hunters have? They were, other than the golden gun, what did they have?
Oh.
They had the knife strike. And then there was something else that they had. Tether. That's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the tether thing was something where you could shoot an arrow into a group, and it would pull it would latch out and grab onto that group, and everybody could shoot them, and you'd get orbs for days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons. So that was one of the things that you brought. You made sure that somebody had tether, somebody had bubble, and then warlocks just were like, hey, come with us. That was it. Nobody cared. Nobody cared about the warlocks. Come on. What do you got? It doesn't matter. You're a warlock? Fine. Come on. you just had firepower. That was it.
Yep.
So I guess maybe hunters are now taking the place of warlocks from back then. But they may change that. I'm not sure. I haven't been able to read the chat room here, and I know Drunk to Dinnerits is probably telling us a bunch. Or maybe he's not. Titan extra ability, that hip height wall that you can set down. When you duck behind it, you immediately reload your mag to full. That was very useful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So otherwise, you just thought it was just more Destiny.
It's more of the same, really. But also, in terms of story mode, I'm hoping that's not the last boss of the game. Because he didn't look too menacing or intimidating.
It probably never
is. Looks like someone you could take out right then and there. Because what was that guy's name in the last one? Oryx or something?
Well, in the very first game, you were taking out the, you had to go to the Black Garden and destroy something, and I can't remember.
Well, basically what I'm saying is, you know, this huge menacing, figure in the end that we all had to get together and take him down, right?
Yeah.
This guy just looks like the enemies you're taking out, just in a different... colored,
yeah, I know.
Uniform. Nothing more really,
than likely
nothing
he's
really threatening about.
More than likely he's the end game boss. Maybe, I don't know. We're not there yet.
If he is, it'd be kind of disappointing.
Yeah, end game, but that's not raid. You know, end game boss is one thing. The Black Garden was nothing to. I mean, it was. I hated playing the mission once I got higher levels. I hated going back and having to play that mission. I didn't want to do it anymore. But it also wasn't really much of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it'll be, see, he says, I imagine you'll have to fight Gaul when he has light infused since he's stealing it from the Traveler, and that'll have some effect. Yeah, there's all sorts of story stuff in here, so you don't know. That may not be his final form whenever we have to fight him.
He goes Super Saiyan.
Probably. There's probably more to it than just what we see at the beginning of the game, I would guess. So he's just the guy that has come down and decided to screw everything up.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason that we have to go to a farm now instead of go to the tower. He's the reason that we lost all of our stuff. He's the reason that we have to apparently start from zero. I don't understand why if you lose your stuff, you go back to zero.
Because you forget things.
Well, they pull your... Okay, so I get that. Your light level. They're stealing the light. Your light level goes down. Okay, now I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's on you. You're wearing your stuff. You're wearing all this stuff, so I don't know. Why would you? It's video game logic. Sorry, I'm trying to I'm trying to rationalize video game logic. I do that from time to time.
Yeah. Why is it that Batman forgets, you know, his moves every single time? You know, every new game, you know, you have to relearn, you know, the same kind of moves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I guess overall, in the end, I'm guessing right now that Destiny for me is going to be about the most fun I'll get out of it is going to be playing with groups, playing with friends, mm-hmm. and the loot you get. It's like a more serious version of Borderlands, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just the loot and playing with teammates.
We got some new video this week of the stuff that we're going to be able to do when we visit planets and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like when we do used to be patrols, you know, you'd go down and you'd do a couple of beacons of patrols or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, Cade is going to be selling. Oh, I have to sneeze. Hang on. Excuse me. Sorry. Wow. Cade's going to be selling treasure maps, and you can use those to go to different places and discover loot, I guess, yep. things like that. There's going to be a featured destination every week, and when you go to that featured destination, there will be a weekly type event. It's sort of going to be like, you know how Nightfall was just like three people could do it? This will be a Nightfall-esque thing, but it'll be a public thing,
mm-hmm.
so everybody can get in on it and go do it, not just your group or whatever. It's not instanced to the server that you're, or not the server, but the, it's not instanced to just your group. It's going to be a public event type thing.
Right.
What else did they talk about?
Are they going to do anything with the spaceships?
Not that I know of. They haven't said. I know. So there are new ones, though. I remember. Yeah, I know when I was flying around, they got some new ones as far as what they look like.
Who cares?
I agree. Who cares unless you can do something with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the sparrows, you could actually like race around and do something in.
Yeah, spaceship is pretty much just cosmetic more than anything else.
The spaceship is just loading screen. That's all it is.
Something to look at while your screen loads. I agree.
Yeah.
They're pointless unless they want to do something with them, which I really wish they would do. Even Old Republic did something with your spaceships, man. For a while there, they didn't, and we were all kind of like, oh, I hope they do.
All right, that'd be nice. And like, oh, okay, here you go.
And they put something in there. It wasn't that great, but it was something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could put some like a chase, even some like chase this other ship down.
They don't have to do much, man.
They don't have to do much.
They could just do. They could just do customizations, where you could actually walk into your ship and customize the way things look and stuff. They could do that, and I think the community would be overwhelmingly positive towards that. You know,
I'd rather like I want to fight something in space.
No, I understand you want to do that, but.
I mean, to me, like, just customizations, just more of the same, you know, that's, all right, just one more loading screen, or one, you know, you're not actually, you know, how does that actually affect gameplay?
You spent real money on something your character could dance. You spent money on a dance.
It's a thriller dance.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and?
They made a, there's a
people. That makes sense. I could, like, go in front of people and thriller dance, and like, oh, yeah, you know, he has the soul for getting down.
But I'm just saying that I think even if you could customize your ship, that's a point for them to make money on. You know what I'm saying? I think people would love that. I think they want what you're talking about. But I think that they would actually be satisfied even if they could just do that. They'd be like, well, it's not this, but look what we can do. We can put fins on our thing. You know, there's like
ideally what I want is Larry Holland to get off his butt and actually do a new X-Wing game. But, you know. I'll never get that one again.
Don't try to make X-Wing happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop trying to make X-Wing happen.
It needs to.
It's not. And you know what? It could. If Battlefront starts going well, if Criterion can do what they do with their thing, you know.
Because that Criterion mission was...
That VR mission was great.
I liked it. Yeah. I want a whole game of that.
Forget I understand.
Running around shooting Storm... Well, actually, I enjoy that. I want a separate game of that.
Yeah, I completely understand. One of the other new things that they'll have on
like the cutscene for that they did for sorry to interrupt but the cutscene they did for the Inferno Squad trailer for the you know that they and they showed you know Inverso getting into her TIE fighter and like actually turning it on and stuff like
Inferno
that.
Inferno Squad trailer?
Yeah, for Battlefront.
Oh, for Battlefront 2. Yeah, I haven't been paying attention.
The single player trailer, right?
Right.
But it shows Inverso just like hopping in her TIE fighter and like turning the thing on like getting I'm like. Make that into a game. Don't make that a cutscene. I want that. Like, you would not believe. I want that so bad.
One of the other things you can do on planets in a public event is you can see from main patrol, just from wherever you are, there's certain places that will be branded. They'll have like an insignia or something on them, mm-hmm. which tells the player that there is a cave exploration place. Mm-hmm. Basically, the way the developer said was that a lot of the times in previous Destiny, you might find a cave that leads to nothing, because maybe it was set up for a story mode, or maybe it's where monsters come from whenever they do a public event or when they do something, or maybe it's just somewhere that they just dead end that they created. Mm-hmm. He said that we didn't want to have that happen anymore, so we now have these places where players can figure out, they can see this insignia and know that there's a treasure there or whatever, there's a hidden entrance. And so players now see that. They have to find the hidden entrance. They go into it, and it may open up into this massive cave system where a boss will be waiting once they get to the end of it. And, of course, you take out the boss, then you get loot. Right. So everything is sort of...
just dungeon crawling.
Not basically. Wasted. Yeah, exactly. So, and a lot of other things that are coming to the public stuff. So we got to go. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the PS Plus lineup that we're getting next month, and which next month is what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
We got that. We've got Xbox Live, Games with Gold thing as well. That's coming up. So lots of stuff. And if you want to get in with your opinions or comments, give us a call, 334-272-9228. Here is another one. It is Shadow Tactics, Blades of the Shogun, which I think came out on PS4.
I think so.
Again this week.
I think it was also on Steam.
Maybe as well. Music from that. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I am Scott, along with Matt and RJ. Music here from Risen 3. Somebody was playing it. So when I checked, I needed more music. I sent in a tweet last night saying, hey, I'm looking for music. Send in your suggestions. I think I got one like 2 hours before we did the show today. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have enough time to do that, so I'll put that in for next week. But watch our Twitter account, you know, on a Friday night or something, and... I'll throw that out there, looking for suggestions for music for the next day, and just you throw them out there, I'll put them on. But anyway, welcome back to the show. Already, speaking of Twitter, Spigot and Inmost Light have purchased House of Da Vinci based on my recommendation, and they are both enjoying it very, very much. So congrats, guys. It's great. It's a great little game. It's only on, I don't know if they don't have an Android release yet. But it is on iOS, and it's another fantastic puzzle game. Really, really good. So it's fine if you don't do Twitter. That's okay. Let's talk about what's coming out next week. Well, next week, I guess so, because next week's August.
Do we have a date when it comes out, or?
What?
Are you talking about the PS Plus stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, do we have a date?
It's usually like, around... It's never August the 1st.
No, it's a couple days in.
Yeah, it's a good ways into it. So by next weekend, you'll probably be able to pick these games up. Although, as a PSA, you might want to go pick up this month's games because they're going to be gone pretty soon, both for Xbox and for PS Plus, if you haven't done it already.
Check.
Next month, August, for PlayStation, we're going to see Vita gets Downwell and Level 22. Downwell is a cross-buy with PS4. PlayStation 3, Super Motherload and Snakeball.
I haven't heard of any of these so far.
Mm-hmm. And PlayStation 4, Just Cause 3 and Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry.
I need Freedom Cry.
Yeah, I'll get them all, but...
I mean, I have Just Cause 3 on my computer, and I think Freedom Cry was one of the ones, one of the Assassin's Creed games I was missing. Because that was one of the standoff, you know, I mean, standalone.
I think it was, yeah.
I mean, offshoot, whatever, you know what I mean.
Let's see. Games with Gold for the month of August. For Xbox One, the entire month you'll get Slime Rancher. Listen at the audience. A hush comes over to the crowd as they are stunned.
Crickets.
That Slime Rancher is going to be free for an entire month. Trials Fusion will be free beginning the 16th.
Okay. Well, there's a good one.
Yeah. That'll be the 16th. Also August 1st through the 15th. It's Xbox 360, but it's Xbox One backwards compatibility, so it'll play, is Bayonetta. Mm-hmm. And then from the 16th through the 31st, it's going to be Red Faction Armageddon. And that's for 360, but of course it is backwards compatible on the Xbox One.
Wouldn't that be forward compatible?
Yeah. So, whatever. You'll be able to play it on both systems. Put it that way. So they're your free games that we're going to get next month.
I think it was almost 2 years since I had renewed my gold account.
I still have my... You know what account I need to get rid of that I keep forgetting to do?
Hulu.
No. I actually like my Hulu account.
Oh.
Gamefly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you haven't talked about them in a long time.
Because I haven't used them in a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't used them in a... I've got... Oh, man.
You got auto-draft? You got auto-draft on your account?
I do, and that's horrible.
Ugh.
Yeah. I know. It's really, really bad. It used to be good to have, and it was nice, but now I just don't need it. Hmm. Oh, wait, never mind. The credit card on your file for your Gamefly account has expired. Please update your card information. Good.
That's just the easy way of doing it.
Well, it is, except I've got games out, and so that's bad.
Well, that just means they can't charge you.
That's still bad.
That's just free games.
No, that's not how that works.
Oh, that's potential legal action.
Yeah, that's not how that works, Matt.
Oh, you're gonna get, you're just like one cog in the machine. They don't know you.
I think I've only got out two games though. Yeah. No, I got three. What do I have out? Hang on. What's
it's like, could you imagine like being like that wonderfully timed, have, you know, Blockbuster Video rental out when they all went under.
Jesus.
And you're just like, oh, free rental.
Mm. Oh,
I have.
Uh-oh.
What?
The way you respond.
I'm not really sure what this means, the way they've got these things. This says at home, and I don't know why it says at home when the others say keep, keep, keep. And then one says at home.
See, they're even telling you to keep the games.
Yeah. Well, no, it adds a price next to it. Keep, keep, keep with a price. The other game has just says at home. It gives me no price. Maybe that means that I can't keep it. Maybe I have to send it back. The Last of Us Remastered for PS4.
It's a good game.
I know. They shipped that July 28th, and I can guarantee you that wasn't last year that they shipped that. Quantum Break for Xbox One.
Uh-oh. Okay, that
one. Yeah. Mafia 3.
Still need to play that one.
Some DLC came out for that recently, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
Far Cry Primal.
I enjoy that. I mean, it's Far Cry.
I mean, these are Gamefly games that apparently are somewhere in my house.
Do you remember getting them?
Well, because it's been so long. I do remember getting Far Cry Primal. I thought I sent that back. Mm-hmm. I do remember getting Quantum Break. And that's another thing I thought I sent back. I don't know. I got to find these things and send them back. Ooh, that's going to be bad news.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, speaking of DLC, there's also one for Neo that came out as well. I got to pick that up. I got to finish Neo, actually. I've only stopped where I was at. I think it was a third mission I stopped at, but I got to finish that.
This is another, just another title to add to the backlog.
Did you see the DLC for Planet Coaster?
No. I heard something about Planet Coaster recently. Like, they made a coaster ride
based on Moonraker.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, Moonraker.
Yeah, they made it's really nice too. But no, they've got construction kits now based on the Munsters.
Oh, jeez.
Knight Rider, and Back to the Future.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked to you about this since Comic-Con went down, but Ready Player One trailer.
Right, we talked about this last week.
Oh, I was kind of busy.
Yeah, I know. Because last week was the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice, because the week before there was Evo, and I was like, Evo's going on, I want to watch Evo. And then the week after that, it was like, Comic-Con's going on, and all these trailers are getting released right now.
A lot of great trailers.
And then... And this week, nothing.
Yeah.
This week's a nice little quiet weekend of nothing.
Yeah, so. A lot of really good trailers. But yeah, that Ready Player One, I'm kind of excited.
Well, it's interesting because I read the book. Book's crap, by the way. It's not... Well, I'd say that. Let me back that. I've read better books. But I think I'm not exactly sure what age group it's aiming for, but this feels like something that should go into the...
Young adult?
Yeah, man.
But do young adults have nostalgia for the 80s?
Right. Exactly. That's my thing.
Middle-aged adults do, because we lived in the 80s.
Right. But when middle-aged adults read this, it's like, man, I've read so much better before. It's nice that he's making these references, but I've read things that are better than this, better written. And
we've had decades of reading.
Were they talking down to you or something?
Who? The book?
Yeah. Does it read like that?
No, it's... it just... Well, I tell you this, it feels like it's the first time this guy's written a book, and I think it is.
I think it is his first book.
Yeah, so that's what it feels like.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I guess is fine. He has a second book out, and I never touched it, and I think he's doing a sequel to Ready Player One. Mm. But I don't know. I know that the trailer has the Iron Giant in it, and I'm thinking, well, that's not an 80s nostalgia, and I don't necessarily remember that being in the book either.
Okay with it.
Oh no, I'm totally okay with any. And in fact, the race thing with
isn't
the cars
in the book.
Did you read the book?
No.
Okay, the race thing is not in the book either.
I was given the book, and I've been meaning to read the book. It's just
I didn't look. I honestly didn't mind it at all. But when I look back, it's kind of like it's kind of like enjoying a video game and thinking, oh, wow, this video game is great. And then you play something else, and I'm like, wow.
That's better.
This is really how you should be doing it, you know?
See, and I could usually have a good time of disassociating movies from their source material, from books or whatever.
Well, I think he changed the whole thing around, because that race thing is not part of it. And so I'm totally fine. Though he did do, I think, the screenplay for the movie.
Okay.
Ernest Cline did.
And so, I mean, I don't mind. I know some people go into it saying, you know, I read the book and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. This is its own telling
of a story. I'm totally
fine.
You put a DeLorean in it. You put the Iron Giant in it.
See, to me,
Akira's
Canada's motorcycle from Akira. That is like, I'm typically like, I've always.
I thought you called him Canada.
It depends on, I've heard.
Canada.
I will say, I think it depends on which.
I called him Canada's motorcycle.
Yeah, well, Canada.
Canada's own national motorcycle.
Yeah. I think it depends on which version of the movie, which dub you have. Because, like, it was the special edition that came out back in, like, early 2000s, where they did, you know, when they redubbed it, you know, and they pronounced it Canada.
It depends on which
syllable you put the emphasis on, but Canada's motorcycle. But
either
I way. Mean, like I've wanted a motorcycle for a long time, but
you want a motorcycle?
Oh yeah,
haven't had a motorcycle yet?
Because I am poor, I guess. I don't know. I just never.
Well, I mean, it depends on the kind of motorcycle you're looking for, but at least some kind of starter bike, man.
But like the kind of motorcycles like I typically always want and that I just gravitate towards are more like, you know, the cruisers, the touring bikes, I'm not a street bike kind of guy.
God, if I had known you and where we're selling off my dad's bike, man.
I am like, you know, like just like sit back on a lazy boy with wheels and just cruise around kind of guy.
That's what my parents had. My
but
parents had
when
a
I see,
tour
you know,
bike.
When I see that bike from Akira, I'm like all kinds of like, I want that bike. You know, that's the
you really don't. If you want something that
if I want something that's comfortable, no, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you want what you were talking about, something you can just sit back and lounge in and ride.
No,
you don't want that bike.
But just as a nostalgia and as an aesthetic, I always like the design of the bike.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was like really neat and everything. And, yeah. But yeah.
My parents had Goldwing, which was...
That's a little bit too old man bikey for me.
You said you wanted a lounge.
But I don't like fairings. I don't like the fairing on the, you know, on the front fairing and stuff like that. I like more of like just, you know, a classic looking...
No, that's fine.
Like
that's
a,
fine.
Like I guess like I mean, Harley's his, route, you know, like a his Road bike King had, or a Heritage Softail.
My dad's bike had air conditioning and heat. Yeah. It had a reverse. I am not kidding you. It was a motorcycle that had a reverse. Yes.
See, yeah, I mean, like, Goldwings are fantastic if you're, like, in your, you know, 70s and you're retired and you just, you know, putting around the country. Yeah, fine, that's your thing. But, you know, I'd either be, like, you know, like a Heritage Softail, a Boulevard, a Road King, or maybe even, like, a like one of those cafe racers. I like those guys, too. But, yeah, anyways. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Ready Player One looks good. What's the other Stephen King's It? Oh my God,
that wasn't SDC. That was just this
week.
But that
just
they
came out.
That, yeah,
It's one of those things like I cannot wait to see that, and I'm going to be so terrified.
Which again, I know we're getting into the movie stuff here.
Yeah, I know.
Good job on them releasing that on the 29th of September instead of movies that like to release October 31st.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you've missed your window, you morons. You need something that's in there for the month of October, not something that comes in towards the end of October and people are seeing it around Thanksgiving. Put that stuff in there. Exactly. They do this with games and they do this with movies. They release it in the middle of October and maybe you see it, maybe you don't. But if you release it just before October, it gives people time to go see it during the scary month. So, you know, during the theme month, I guess you could call it. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
So, back to, what was I going to talk about after that? Pokemon Go.
That is still going on?
Oh, yeah, it is. Did the whole Pokemon Go Fest last week?
There was a fest?
They're a complete disaster is what it was.
Like Fire Festival kind of a disaster?
No, like people couldn't connect. They brought on the president of Niantic or whoever that thing is, and there was just booze.
wow.
Nate posted a supercut of all the cringe moments from that thing.
Oh, geez.
And
if you could do enough for a supercut, then that's
it was just a massive disaster for that, which is fine. I don't look to I haven't touched that game in forever.
I haven't touched that game.
You never touched it at all, did you?
No, I didn't.
We got some numbers on the Nintendo Switch, which congratulations to 2-0, Slick 2-0, I think, or whatever, on Twitter. He got himself a Switch just a couple of nights ago.
Oh, really?
Picked up a Nintendo Switch and ARMS, I saw, ARMS. On his Twitter account. He showed that off. He said "I something about my will was not strong." And I said, hey, not a problem, man. You're going to enjoy it.
You know, I know what Lethal Migraine will say about this, but every time, like, I go to the BX, you know, on occasion, like, during my lunch break and stuff, get something to eat, and they have, like, the displays there with the video games, and they have the PSVR bundles, you know, but the headset by itself and then the bundle, and I'm just, every time I pass by that, I just, like, look at it, and I'm like...
I think the price dropped a little bit on the headset.
It's still $399 there. Okay. I don't know if
I think
has.
They knocked like $50 off that I saw recently,
oh,
but
don't
I don't
tell
know.
Me that.
Well, $50, so it's $350, whatever.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I keep on looking at that, and I'm like, I
hope Nate's enjoying my PSVR, because he hasn't brought that thing back yet.
I know. He needs to bring it back so I can play it.
Yeah. the person I just banned is now following us on Twitch. Okay.
You just banned someone?
Yeah, they came and spammed the thing with like, I don't know what it was, but yeah.
Was it Drunk Degenerate?
No, it was Sophie versus Gaming.
Oh, she just did a little poem.
I know, but that's not how you enter a room.
I mean, I give it creative points.
It made me think it was spam. So,
probably some little 14-year-old girl in England just being all like, oh, I just want to give my poetry out to a gaming channel, and here are just banhammer.
Yeah. Take culture somewhere else. That stuff doesn't fly around here. Nintendo had more than 4.7 million Switch consoles shipped since the platform's launch at the beginning of March. Switch-exclusive games are selling just as well as the system. Breath of the Wild still leads the pack with 3.92 million units sold. Of course, that's cross-platform because you got Wii U availability as well.
Yeah.
Mario Kart 8, however, sold 3.54 million, which is only on the Switch console, an enormous chunk of the Switch install base. ARMS has passed the 1 million sales milestone. It'll be interesting to see how Splatoon 2 does, since that just
probably
released
just
a couple
of
weeks ago, huh?
Probably just as well.
I would think so. It's a sequel based on something that was very popular in the Wii U. So
still
I think
we're going to see ARMS at a gaming tournament as well.
You will.
Yeah.
Splatoon 2, I think you'll see at gaming tournaments as well. I think Splatoon was...
Maybe not so much as ARMS, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'll be interesting. And then I think later in August, you've got the Mario Rabbids thing that I'm really actually very
curious
about. I mean, it's XCOM, which there's another game in my thing.
Oh, that just stares at you?
XCOM 2, yes.
Yeah. Hey, you remember me? You own me. You should play me sometime.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know.
It's sitting there, and I kind of want to play it. So I haven't played it in a long time. I remember really actually enjoying it. It's another thing that it came to a point where it's like, okay, now it's time to upgrade your ship because you've earned all these points. What should you upgrade first? And everything comes with bonuses. And so that's when I kind of stopped and I said, okay, now I need to look at a guide to be like, what's the best way to go about upgrading the ship to maximize anything, you know, to maximize whatever it is that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I need to look up some strategy on which way to go with this thing. And so, again, this is one of those situations where I hit a fork in the road and I stopped so I could figure out which path would benefit better, and I never did. So,
I have a Valkyria Chronicles also staring me down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that,
and then the XCOM 2 expansion comes out the same day the Mario Rabbids thing comes out.
XCOM 2, that's a strategy-based game, right?
That's the, yes. That's the one where you've got a certain number of moves and you're on a tile board type thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not, it's really, really good. So,
I know like the next one, I know the next strategy-based game like that I will play is going to be Battletech.
Ah, yeah, I'm sure. That'll be right up your alley for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else do we have? Well, we're about to have to take a break. So why don't we do that? Let's go to a break. I've got... Oh, this music is fantastic, by the way. I was going to use an entire show of nothing but this, but Supergiant Games released another game this past week called Pyre. And they're the ones that did Bastion and Transistor. And so
Bastion's music was fantastic.
I know. So
didn't play Transistor.
This is music from Pyre. It's called Path to Glory. I was going to do the entire soundtrack just because it's that good, but only picked this song from the game. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from Infinite Mini Golf, which I think got released on Xbox One.
Yeah. For a minute there, I thought it was like Katamari Damacy or something.
No, it's Infinite Mini Golf, same company, Zen Studios, that makes the pinball effects.
Right.
So, I'm Scott, along with Matt and RJ. You know what I may do that weekend? You guys aren't here. I may do a music show.
Okay.
Since you guys won't be here that weekend. Yeah, I may do that. Let's go to the phones real quick and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Oh, shoot, if you're going to do a music show, I could send you some music CDs or something, play some other things, like from the that guy that does like the heavy metal of the Nintendo games, I think.
No, I won't do any like covers.
Oh.
No. I'll use actual tracks from video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one I'm really big on that, because Nate, I would ask for stuff, and they would like, here's this, and it was somebody doing a different version of like a Mario theme or something, and they were doing it with a different instrument. And I like those. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy listening to those, but when I play them here, I really just want to play the original tracks.
Oh, okay.
For whatever we use, and I'm usually not going to use something like Super Mario Brothers or whatever, but yeah, I just like to use the original tracks by the original composers, and I may hit around, see if I can get some composers on the show that weekend too. Yeah, I might do that. I'm not saying I am, but I might.
That'd be something cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hmm. Basically, if you can get different ones that have good beats to them and everything. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I try to span the genre whenever we did. The last time we did it, I had the host pick, and of course, hosts are different now. Were you guys here for the music show last time?
Probably.
I don't remember.
I don't think you were here, Matt. You weren't here. No, because you were out. Yeah. It was James, I think Jeremy and Dennis. It may have just been me and James. It may have been somebody else, though. I can't remember.
You remember when it was?
Huh?
You remember when it was?
It goes back at least 2 years.
Okay.
We didn't do one last year, and we didn't want to do one the year before, but we did one the year before that.
Okay.
It was our first year of doing this again.
Was I deployed?
I want to say you were. You may have. Even if you weren't, I don't think you were here for that episode.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. Anyway, so.
If that's the case, we're about due then.
Yeah.
Well, I've been wanting to do one, and I keep forgetting and putting it off, and then about the time I think about it, which the last...
We were going to do it with Second Life, and then...
Well, the last time we did it, I had gone to PAX and was able to get in touch with Tommy Tallarico, who was there, and I was like, hey, I just wanted to see if I could get with you about coming onto our show and doing this. It's I think it was the following week,
mm-hmm.
and he was all good with it, and then... The week came around, and we were waiting for his call. Never heard from him. Yeah, but, you know, we got through. We had a couple of other people on the show that week as well. So I'll reach out to some contacts here. I know I've got, you know, the composer for Ori and the Blind Forest. I could easily reach out to him and see if he's busy and see if he'd want to do it, be on the show. Gareth Coker, which we've had on the show before. So.
If I could talk to any one composer for video games, it would be a Clint Lakian. I think that's how you pronounce his last
name.
He did some of the old LucasArts games, Outlaws and Dark Forces. I mean,
do some research on him and see if you can find out if there's a contact for him and put him in touch with me.
All right.
Or give me his contact info and I'll reach out to him and see if I can get him on.
Oh, man, the Outlaw soundtrack is still one of my favorites.
I mean, I know you won't be here for it, but it's another composer to have on the show. I love – that's one of my favorite – I'm sorry, Chris, I'm taking over your phone call.
That's fine.
It's one of my favorite things to do at PAX, and apparently I think they may do it at East, but I know they always do it at West, is when they have the composers panel. And then they have the autograph session afterwards. I love taking my vinyl soundtracks to them and having them autograph whatever it is I've got on hand. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's always fun. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try and do this. All right, Chris, what have you been doing?
Same as usual, playing more of Final Fantasy XII. But like last week, since 84 had called in about his controller, I never did hear anything about that. But if you're listening to 84 and it's your original controller, from when you played this system years ago, you can most likely just look up YouTube videos that shows you how to do it. It's really easy. You just need to clean the contacts on that circuit board. So you can go to a dining room table, just get you a paper towel out or something, and turn it upside down and take the screws out, and just be careful when you take it apart and take it apart when it's upside down, and then use 91% alcohol and Q-tip and just scrub those contacts where the buttons touch there until there's no black residue that soaks up on the Q-tip, and that's all you really need to do, and it just fits it no problem.
Well, hopefully he was listening. He probably was. YouTube is the best database of tutorials I've ever seen.
Yeah, he shouldn't have any problem. I mean, I've taken all kinds of different controllers apart, even the PlayStation 4 once. But I wouldn't recommend doing these newer system controllers, but the old ones like Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, yeah, just take your time and just be careful and don't lose any of the parts and pieces and just put it back together in the opposite order when you took it apart, and you'll be fine. They're pretty fun to look at, actually. Well, maybe he'll hear that, and hopefully that'll help him out.
Well, somebody else is calling in, so we'll jump over there. But thank you, Chris.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is Crowdhead.
Oh, hey, man.
I was listening to what y'all were just talking about, and that kind of sinks in with something I'm dealing with.
Which part?
Well, I've got the reading eye on a DVD CD player that's part of my console. Mm-hmm. Excuse my console, but my tower. I've got a cleaner ordered. I got an in-dust cleaner order for it. I hope that clears up the eye problem, not reading, because I'm not able to get anything looking like a regular video anymore. But I heard what you were telling 84 a minute ago, and man, that rang an old bell a long time ago. When you got those contacts, would get a little oxidation on them. I found that a brand new pencil eraser, and just gently with the alcohol and the pencil eraser,
yeah,
just gently go back and forth with a pencil eraser, will actually polish really good, and it'll do better than a Q-tip.
No, I've done that before. Yeah.
Okay.
I have done that before. It wasn't with a controller. I can't remember what it was for.
I was thinking that it was the contacts where you plugged in on the Nintendo set would get, the games, the cartridge, and those things would stop reading correctly sometimes. And you could rub them with that little clean eraser back and forth, and it would come off. You'd see the gunk on the eraser and the shiny on the where they contacted. But any other suggestions for DVD, CD, eye readers other than just putting an in-dust cleaner in there and running it?
Buy a new one.
That or buy a new one.
Yeah. Buy an okay.
I mean, and I know I don't mean to throw that away, but man, these things come so cheap now.
I think they come in like a box of Cheerios.
a Toshiba was like $20.
It is. I mean, they go for so cheap now. It's almost even pointless to try and repair what you got, other than just buying a brand new one that's going to last you as long as the old one did.
Yeah.
I mean, go if you've already got your cleaning kit on the way, try it.
I have ordered it, have not received it.
Well,
and
I mean, go through with it, and if it works, fantastic. Great. If it doesn't, then you've got a nice cleaner for next time, and you can shell out $20 to get a brand new drive, and you're good.
Yeah.
Are those things hard to replace, change out?
Shouldn't be, no. Because what you'll do, now you're talking about a tower, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what you'll do probably,
take
and I don't know.
Take the sides off, unscrew.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what kind of tower you've got or anything like that. Those eject, out the front. The drives. You slide them in from the front.
Yeah.
And so it'll do the same thing. So your cords will be attached to it. You unplug there, plug the new one in, slide it in. You're golden.
Mm-hmm. Is it like you used to say on the Schick Razor commercial? Push, pull, click, click.
Really, it's that simple. In fact, the next time I do a build, I'm not even going to put a drive on my system.
And the idea of you playing soundtracks, original, that is a really good idea. I'm a audiophile when it comes to music, off of movies, off of games. I'll hear something I like, and then I've just got to have it. Like when you open your show, that one particular piece, it's got a real neat sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let's see. Nope, that's not the one I want. I was going back to our. I'm trying to go back to our show and see if I can find which episode that was. It was in September of It wasn't 16 and it wasn't 15. I want to say it was September of 14. Let's look here.
Yeah.
What do you call it when somebody has put a piece of music from a game out there on the internet that you can go in and download the little file? What kind of file? Is that MPEG or?
It's most likely an MP3.
An MP3. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that have done that, it seems, from various games.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you can find game soundtracks.
Here's something that you like, because there was, I think I've mentioned this one time, I called about an old game that was Clive Barker's
Undying.
Undying.
Yep.
That whole soundtrack is just creepy as hell.
That whole everything.
You know, having something like that as a file just to kind of background
like
sound.
Like sort of ambient music in the background?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Anyway, I won't tie up the show because I know you got other folks listening. I appreciate you guys.
No, you're fine. I was busy trying to find the... thanks for calling, Crawdad. Mm-hmm. I was busy trying to find the episode.
The last music episode we had.
Yeah, I can't...
Yeah, that tip you had about using an eraser and, mm-hmm. and alcohol, well, we talking about the... I never got to ask. What was it? Is it the classic pink eraser or one of the white art erasers? Which one?
It's a pencil. It's on the end of a pencil.
Pink eraser?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just, well, red, you know, on the end of a pencil.
Yeah.
Basically because it's got that reach to get into the crannies that you can't get into with the big one, the big fat one. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't find that stupid music episode. Maybe it's with the interviews. Let me click the interviews real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I know. I really want
to find
it.
He has to find it. No matter what. Awesome radio, by the way.
I know. People, just me looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hearing you look at things. That'll work.
Mm. There's Gareth. That's when we had Gareth on. There's SimCity. There's Talos Principle. Make it fly. Before I stretch. Hey,
don't let me go back to 2013 now.
No, my guess would be 2014.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm in 2014 right now.
Yeah.
Blake J. Harris, when we interviewed him about his book, Hip Hop Gamer.
I remember that one, yeah.
Speaking of, I just got a book just came in from Amazon for me.
Which one?
The Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad.
Mm.
I'm going to read that before the game comes out.
Yeah. Are they still making movie plans for Console Wars? Anybody know?
I haven't heard of anything about that.
No, okay. Because I remember they said something about Seth Rogen, one of the projects he was going to be in with Blake Harris's book.
Yeah.
Man, I can't find it.
Okay.
I can't find it, and now it's going to bug me.
We're just trying to, you know, pass the time so that way we
No, I mean, go ahead and pass the time if you want to. I don't know what else is there to do. It's just, it's getting on my nerves. I really want to find this episode, and I don't know where it's at.
This is like your, when you played Crackdown, you had to find that last package, didn't you?
That one last orb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many orbs was it? Like 200 what? 250, 200 something, 300? How much?
It was 500.
500? Oh, goodness.
I want to say it was 500. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing compared to the Spider-Man icons in Spider-Man Web of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Once you collected 500, then the rest of them showed up on the map. First, you had to collect, but that's how many there were. There was just a ton.
Yeah.
This is when a game overdoes it.
When you're getting into 500, that's... Overkill.
No, 500
was the first part.
Yeah, 500 was the first part. Yeah. Then the rest of them showed up on the map, so you could collect the other 500.
We need you to find these 500 first so we can have the resources to put the other 500 in there for you.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, I never had the patience for that.
Ridiculous.
Really. It's like the Riddler trophies for Batman. I think the closest thing for me would be the Riddler trophies in Batman. I just didn't have the patience.
If I stumbled across one, I'd pick it up, but yeah, I wasn't actively searching for them because I was just like, ugh. I'm here
but then they
crack skulls and flap around like Batman.
Yeah, but then they put a little caveat there about if you want to face the true conclusion of the Riddler battle, you had to have all the Riddler trophies. I'm like, well, I'll just have to look it up on YouTube because that's like I said, I don't have the patience for this. I'll just watch it that way.
That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear they got a new card game out called Bears versus Bunnies? No, Bears versus Babies.
Wait a minute, Babies?
Yeah, Bears versus Babies.
And what type of game is this? Puzzle?
It's a card game.
Huh?
It's made by the people who did The Oatmeal.
Never heard of that one.
It's a webcomic. Really funny, actually. I like their stuff. But I think they were talking about GT South when I was there, that they have it there. And
okay.
I'm just
they got a lot of card-based games there.
I'm guessing it's kind of like a Cards Against Humanity kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's the popular one out there. I was about to say that.
But anything where you like pit babies versus bears, I'm going to have to try that. You know, that just sounds like, you know, fun.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, baby's typically a little taboo.
Moltil has the link in the chat room for us. Thanks, Moltil.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish I could find that episode.
Bears versus babies.
I'm sorry. It's bothering me now, and I want to find it so bad. Mainly because I want to see what music we use so I don't reuse it. This is horrible.
It's a monster-building card game. Hey, Moltil, I'm asking you for the chat room. You could reply back. Have you tried it yet? Just curious.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I know later on tonight, hopefully, if not tomorrow, I'm going to be playing some Wildlands from Ghost Recon. That's, you know, like I said, I've been doing the Shadow of Mordor and everything, but it seems almost like how Mad Max just kind of got samey after a while. That, all right, yeah.
Really repetitive, you mean?
Just yeah.
Really, yeah.
Kind of repetitive-ish. So, I mean, I've been having fun with it, and I've been running around, but like, ooh, now I got, you know, to go around, Venezuela or Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. Not Bulgaria, but, you know, somewhere down South American and, you know, get some narco terrorists.
Mm-hmm. And now I wish we had, a search engine on our website, because I remember who we interviewed.
This will bug you all the way home, won't it?
Oh, God. You know it will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
It will so much.
Look in the chat room, the previous, the previous game that the guy did was Exploding Kittens.
Jeez.
I love that.
Sounds like a theme.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Yeah. Well, in my case, playing later on, like I said earlier, Neo, I got to finish that. But probably immediately, I'll probably be going back on practicing more of the golf club, too, and then practicing more in Injustice 2, because that tournament. I learned that I don't have very good success in dealing with some of the mix-up with Green Lantern, because both of my losses in the tournament came to the same player, same character. So I need to take some time learning him and getting used to it. So if this tournament comes up again, I'll be better prepared to work with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott, it's all right, man.
I know, I can't help it. It's so horrible.
Not really. It's not.
No, that's. I'm just going to have to get up. I'm going to have to give up. That sucks. I'm going to have to give up. Anyway, we did a music episode once. We might be doing another one, so I'll see. I don't know. What else? What's going on next week? Anything going on next week?
Let's see.
Anything coming out next week? I don't think so.
Well, Sonic Mania ain't coming out till the 15th. That's the
I know.
One I'm thinking about.
So that's, that one. Yeah, that's not going to be anything.
No, it's going to be next week.
Which I've got that ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Europe got a PlayStation Plus price hike, by the way.
Oh, really?
Price hike for... Any reason why?
I mean, I don't know. Probably just a thing where it's like, time to go up on the price.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know what, let's see. The annual price goes up by 25% from $39.99 to $49.99. That's the annual price. The quarterly price goes up from $14 to $19, and the monthly price goes from $5 to $6. That takes place August 31st, and that's for Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me think it's not going to be long before that comes over our way, and we get a price hike as well. What are we currently playing for PlayStation Plus? 50 or 60?
I think it's 60.
60. Oh, because it's been a while. It's been a year. I think it's 60.
Yeah.
Think it's 60. I think it's 60.
Yeah, because mine just had to renew.
Yeah.
And the BX had had it for 49. So I'm like, I'll go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's they're gonna get a price hike, which again, like I said, makes me wonder if we're paying 60. I think Xbox, I think gold is 70 now.
This has been it's been about 2 years since I've renewed that.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine says it's going up in Australia as well.
Wow.
Hmm.
I was looking at some stuff that was coming out. Let's see, Patapon Remastered, Tacoma. Ark Survival Evolved, Black Hole, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Lawbreakers. I think I heard that. Anybody heard that? Lawbreakers?
No.
That game? Okay. Hmm. And then one, Night Trap 25th Anniversary.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that finally gets released?
Yeah.
Nice.
August 11th, it says. Yeah. City Skylines, which I've always wanted to try, but my computer couldn't handle it. It says it's going to be on PS4 on the 15th.
Still looking at that stupid episode. I can't find it. I'm done.
You said you were going to give it up on that.
I couldn't. It's eluded me, and it still has eluded me, and I want to find it. God, it bugs me so much. Pay attention to our Twitter, because I'll tweet about it, because that's the only way I'll have any kind of closure, is when I do find it, and I can say, look, here it is. I want to point it out to everybody in the chat room, but I can't. So just check our Twitter account, and I'll throw it out there.
Somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning or something, you'll actually find it.
Yeah, I'll pull a Trump tweet. Anyway, we're going to go. Thanks for everybody for joining us in the chat room. Is everybody listening to us on the stream and on the radio? I know that was exciting, the last 10 minutes of radio there.
Riveting.
Listening to me try to find a show. Thanks to everybody who grabs a Sea Creek from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Head on over to ingamechat.net, and you can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, join our Steam group there. You can join up with us over there and play games with us and other listeners. Subscribe to our Twitch channel while you're watching us. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Music from Star Trek Online.
Okay. I tried that a little bit.
It's too late to talk about it now.
Yep. That's about all I have to say about it.